You guys been following this Star Wars March Madness? Because I have, and I've been posting on the Facebook page. It's a somewhat controversial topic. So here's my take on it. For you guys who don't know, StarWars.com has been doing a Star Wars version of March Madness, mashing up random Star Wars characters against each other and then letting fans vote on them. Yes. In the world of Star Wars Episode 7 and all these projects getting canceled, this is the priority of Lucasfilm. We are matching up Jabba the Hutt versus Cad Bane or versus Darth Vader. And this is what we're dealing with, folks. You know, it's like that overly philosophical guy at the funeral home. He's trying to be there. He's trying to help out. But he's just really, he's like, you know, they're really in a better place. When it's that time when it's just time to shut up, be silent, and just be there for the mourning Star Wars fans who just lost Clone Wars, Star Wars Detours, and now LucasArts. But hey, if you go to StarWars.com, you can vote for whether Ahsoka Tano or Chewbacca is your favorite character. You're listening to the Star Wars Report podcast of StarWarsReport.com. Let's... Chewie, punch it! That's my Chewbacca. My go-to Chewbacca impression always goes to the rumble, the Royal Rumble, the Chewbacca rumble, and then I always have to go to... What scene is it? I want to say it's from Empire Strikes Back. There you go. That was not me, ladies and gentlemen. That scene in Empire Strikes Back, there's some scene... It's when the... I want to say it's the scene where the doorway's closing in Hoth, and they're like...
Yep.
And just as the doors close, and he's like, yeah, there it is. All right, I'm Riley Blanton, the host, the founder of the Star Wars Report podcast, StarWarsReport.com. You are tuned in to just about the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting out there, at least in my less than humble opinion. Thank you guys for tuning in. We got a lot to talk about tonight, but before we get into all that, I wanted to introduce my fellow co-founders and co-hosts. Let's start off with my sister, Bethany. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for welcoming me. I'm glad to be back. Yeah, we took a bit of a break from normal shows.
We did. It was last minute. I will say, it was on the docket. We were ready to roll last week, and man, you were busy. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember with what.
I don't even remember with what.
But you were busy. trust me, ladies and gentlemen, you were busy. But man, that show got rolled away. But one man did come to the rescue from my lost voice. That's why I wasn't there. And that man is Mr. Mark Herleman. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
Hey, always glad to be back and here. You know, I love it when we throw out the founder term. It makes me suddenly feel like we're like Dominion gods or something from Star Trek. I mean, there's nothing equivalent like it that I'm aware of off the top of my head for founders in Star Wars yet.
Well, I wanted something more than just, you know, podcast co-host, because that kind of entails, because all three of us and our writers and other podcast hosts, they don't just sit down at a microphone and record. They're contributing to the site. They're helping out write articles and keep up the...
Doing social media.
Yeah. It's a project, and it's more than just a podcast. So
Fun project.
At some point, I didn't want to be too business. I considered sole proprietor, but that sounds way too business. That sounds like Disney with the Star Wars. Okay.
He's god of the Star Wars realm.
Now, speaking of Disney real fast, I got into an argument, not really a big argument, but kind of like a little back and forth jabbing with someone on Facebook, because they had, it was like the U.S. as Okies see it, and it had everything broke down, like the whole West Coast was the hippies, and they showed Florida and they said Disneyland, and I'm like... Disneyland? I'm like, that's the home of Disney World. And the person's page that it was, they're like, well, Disneyland is Disneyland. Disney is Disney. And I'm like, very, very untrue. That is a lie, a bold-faced lie. There are two very distinct differences to that Star Wars environment from Disneyland to Disney World.
Lies, all lies, sir. No, we've got, man, we got some sad, more sad news. This is the way I think the Star Wars will roll. For the next little while.
Continue on.
And I think there's really absolutely no better way to kick off our discussion. It's not even about LucasArts. You guys are listening to this, you already know the news. But I want to play a voicemail we got in on our SpeakPipe line. And I'm just not, no introduction, no nothing. Just take a listen to this, guys.
So the Clone Wars series is over. No more season 6. That's my question.
Feel free to start crying now. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
That's so sad and hilarious at the same time.
But because it's over. Kid, he's right.
I don't think the whatever your name, we should have had have a way for folks to leave their name. I don't know your name, young man, but yes, no more season 6 is the answer to the question. I don't think he/you listened to the podcast. I think this young man just saw the website and saw down at the bottom it says, "Leave us voicemail feedback. We want to know your questions." Now, I don't think he really thought to himself after clicking the recording and send button, wait a second, there's no way for me to hear feedback on this unless I listen to this podcast. So if,
and
you,
if
are,
you are listening, I will say the answer is yes and no.
Answer's
because
no.
Because we're answer, getting bonus content that was supposed to be season 6 at one time.
No. It's no, Mark. The answer is no. No season 6.
Well, and basically with that is, we hope for as much material from 7/6 to be released online.
2 arcs.
But
6 episodes, 2 arcs. Mark my words. You heard it here, not first at all. No, it's
not first at all. Nice.
I'm in a mood, Mark. So here's the best way to do it. So the news this week, because we've already talked about this some. The news this week.
I can
think
summarize.
Bears,
canceled. And, maybe
and,
canceled.
And.
Canceled.
And
maybe canceled.
Pretty much. No.
And shut down.
Episode 7,
and shut
no
down.
News. Kill
so
this.
I saw this.
Episode
and
7,
I'm gonna...
no news. Kill that. Episode 7, no news. Kill this over here. We are going to have an announcement about no news about episode 7 in the coming weeks. Stay tuned to your feeds. We're going to kill this, that, and the other thing.
I feel like
we're in a shooting gallery here, folks.
Disney is like the
Imperial Stormtroopers. Only they are that precise.
or to go back to a Walking Dead reference, as we are wont to do here sometimes. Disney's a lot like Daryl, with the same cold, calculating precision, which we know they do have a heart of gold in the end. That they can be nice and hold babies and defend our friends, but they can be pretty ruthless to get there. I started out and I was realizing, man, this is a better metaphor than I thought as I'm going along. For those of you who watch Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon is kind of like he's the guy who will do anything what it takes to keep the group safe. Now, if the group could be the Star Wars franchise, we do know long term that episode 7 does mean great things for the Star Wars franchise, but man, is it a bitter pill to swallow. LucasArts layoffs beginning, LucasArts closing down. I saw this pop up on the Rebel Force Radio Facebook page literally like 2 minutes after it broke, and I was like, I believed it instantly. I didn't even think it was an April Fool's joke or anything like that. And then it was confirmed by a gaming reporter, Geoff Niley. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And I'll quote from him. LucasArts just announced it's moving to a licensing model for games, moving away from development. There are layoffs happening at LucasArts. And it seems like Disney will now license out Star Wars to other publishers. So, you know, that's not really surprising. However, it is disappointing for me anyway. You know, I really enjoyed games like Battlefront and The Force Unleashed and Republic Commando, some in-house LucasArts games that were fantastic. But that wasn't it. Update, I saw about 2 minutes later, the Kotaku article was up. Both Star Wars First Assault and Star Wars 1313 have been canceled. Axed.
Not postponed, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, but indeed.
Beheaded.
Well, one of them,
betrayed.
I think it's 1313. They talked about possibly being retooled as a different game with different main character. But yeah, there's
and
so
that,
many
that
rumors
was the
right
rumor,
now.
But then it was confirmed that
it's
dead.
Axed.
Just, yeah.
Killed,
gone.
Killified. Just let that sink in for a moment. So
dead.
Basically, here's a quote. Here's the quote from Disney. Are you ready, Mark? I'd like everyone put on your PR spin detection hats now, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Quote, after evaluating our position in the games market, we've decided to shift LucasArts from an internal development to a licensing model, minimizing the company's risk while achieving a broader portfolio of Star Wars games. As a result of this change, we've had layoffs across the organization. We are incredibly appreciative and proud of the talented teams who have been developing our new titles. This comes after... All right, so that's the quote from Disney. And I'm going to finish the quote from Kotaku. This comes after weeks and months of rumors involving the studio, which was acquired by Disney last fall. In September, LucasArts put a freeze on all hiring and product announcements, and which many staff saw as the beginning of the end. Today, it is official. LucasArts, the long-running gaming studio, the studio that brought us TIE Fighter, the studio that brought us Masters of Teras Kasi, the studios that brought us Star Wars Kinect, but more importantly, honestly, like games like The Force Unleashed and Republic Commando, Battlefront, and First Assault looked amazing. Axed, killed, dead, you're done.
Gone.
Elimination. Life of education. I love to sneak in the old Disney movie reference.
Just to throw out there, though, Riley, Battlefront was actually done by Pandemic.
That's true. That's true.
And I also want to say The Force Unleashed 2 was also one that they had run out. I mean, I questioned immediately to the Beyonders, is could this be kind of like that step back to when they were licensing out more of the games? I mean, because to me, that seemed to be when things were really hitting. Like when LucasArts was the game industry of Star Wars. It was like, oh yeah, man, they got another cool game coming out. You know, I mean, KOTOR was just ramping up. Then we had KOTOR 2 with the Battlefront, you know, all these other fun games, but not all of them were LucasArts. And I remember when LucasArts brought everything in-house, the games we got after that, people were like, let's go back to these fun games. Let's go back to the cool stuff. So I kind of wonder if we're going to go back to that model where now we're still going to see the LucasArts logo on our games. It's just they're not going to be as involved. I mean, but think about how often that they would postpone and drag out a lot of these releases and stuff like that, or then they would rush it at the last minute. So I mean, I don't know. I try to look at the upside here. Like maybe we will get better games
and
now
because
of this.
I was talking to a dear friend of the show, Steve Glosson, earlier today.
Good guy.
And we were kind of going over this, and it's hard to stay positive. I think it's still at this point important to, and listeners may or may not have detected the slightest, nay, the smallest amount of sarcasm in some of the previous 12 minutes of this podcast episode. But it is important to stay up positive, and I think there are upsides to it. Brian from over at Tashi Station was interacting with us on some of the comments, talking about, you know, LucasArts hasn't put out a great hit since The Force Unleashed, and a lot of gamers really, I mean, there's an article not too long ago on Kotaku really just eviscerating LucasArts for just not being
a
functional studio and not getting not getting games out on time, not producing quality games, just doing stuff like Star Wars Kinect, and you know, now it's not LucasArts related, but we're getting things like Star Wars Angry Birds. So as somebody who wants to see Star Wars move into next generation gaming, not even as a gamer, like, listen, I do not play video games hardly ever. In fact, it's highly unusual. The video game I've played most in my life is the Wii Fit, but the second game is probably Battlefront 2. But I was just recently playing, I just for the heck of it, got out the old Wii and started playing through the Wii version of The Force Unleashed, which I never actually played the Wii version, just the
it's fun,
the
isn't
old
it?
PSP version. I was getting a kick out of it. I was like,
yeah,
this...
I mean, have you force choked anybody and slammed them off of a couple walls yet?
I may or may not have done that. Like,
I have a dark side fetish when it comes to my video games. After doing that, I watched the movie Push, and I'm like, yeah, dude, they were channeling that game.
Yeah. Well, and considering that's technology now that's 5 years old, the Wii version of The Force Unleashed, it's still really fun to play. But it's just we're not going to be getting What games does Disney do? This is a genuine question. I'm not enough of a gamer to know this.
Epic Mickey.
Yeah, Epic Mickey. What else do they? Does Disney have any huge
Disney
game?
Princess? I mean, they market a lot of their, you know, those type of games. I mean, my daughter's got a couple like Ariel's Grotto kind of things and stuff
that's,
of that nature.
That sounds
kind of
creepy.
I'm sorry. What did you say? Ariel's what?
Grotto.
Well, the Heir's Grotto is actually a restaurant we're going to, but the one that she has is a Disney princess game, and each princess has their own land, and you play this girl, and by the time it's all said and done, the girl realizes that she was a princess too, someone had cast a spell on her, and you find out your character was one of the many princesses as well. And, I mean, like it was fun to watch her play.
It's like Knights of the Old Republic, only with Disney princesses. You discovered you were a Disney princess.
pretty much.
But let's see. I pulled up from GamesRadar.com the top seven Disney video games, and they're all vintage, so none of them really help into my point. But it said, okay. So, I can't really think of a Disney version of Call of Duty or a Disney big next generation game, and I don't see them developing one. Well, they are literally going to Axe LucasArts.
What fans don't see and what I don't see yet is what direction they're actually taking this, because they're not going to be cutting off all of these potential revenue streams without some other plan in place. Whether that plan is solely Episode 7 or not yet remains to be seen. But obviously, we can't see exactly the direction the company is taking, and I think that's what has fans worried. Not just sad that we're seeing projects that we wanted to consume just, you know, get axed, but also where fans are worried because they can't see, and I can't really see either, what direction they're actually taking this. Are they going to do video games? What kind of video games are they going to do, if they do any? Who would they get to do them? Are they going to outsource them? You know?
My question to you, Bethany, in the same genesis is, do you think we're going to see a ramp up before Episode 7, or do you think they're going to wait till right before Episode 7 and then unleash it all
like,
at once?
Like a drought.
Do you think, like, in the next 6 months, we might get a tidbit of the new direction? Because, like you said, you know, there are acts and projects left and right. Where are we going to see some new roots taking place? Because one thing I remember from the whole, oh, this is their strategy, was when they discovered the Holocron. The one that Leland Chi has tirelessly been keeping all this continuity that everyone keeps saying it's one continuity, when it's reality, it's two. The one that Leland has, that big old thing, they were excited about that. And that got me as an EU fan excited. I was like, ooh, Disney's, they see all these characters that are there, all these backgrounds, these stories already in place, ready to go. But yeah, I mean, until we see the roots of where they plan to go, we have no idea. And it is easy to go doom and gloom. But I question, are we going to see something like in the next few months, or do you think it's really going to be something closer to 2015?
Or even then, what if it's closer to, what if they really, truly want to focus almost entirely on the movies until the movies are mainly done? Or until they feel like they have them figured out? Like, the, if, for instance, with Star Trek, have it come out, have the first one come out, see if it's a big hit. It's a big hit, they continue on, and then they start branching out from there. I mean, what would you do if you were Disney?
Here's the deal. When we want to talk about LucasArts in 1313.
Can't hear you, Ryle.
All right, here's the, thank you.
Well, it's like the WWDD, you know, what would Disney do?
Yes. As I was saying when I had my microphone muted, and by the way, Mark, pulling back the curtains. Thank you for letting me know that. I'm just going to say that on air, because I don't know how many times on this very podcast, verily, I say unto you, how many times I've left my microphone muted, like when I'm going to cough or something, and I talk for 2 minutes, and you guys are both smiling and nodding. So, way to go, sir. I completely forgot my point. No, I remember my point. So, Disney, they do not have plans. If I could answer your question, Mark, you didn't really direct it at me. Disney does not have any plans to replace or do anything in the next generation gaming market. Mark my words. There's not going to be anything similar to a First Assault or 1313. They're not going to do anything in the prequel era. Just that's the way it's going to be. And as soon as the current Star Wars licenses are expiring, they will no longer be. Marvel will probably get the comics license in the next year, and then you'll probably see, you know, Kenobi and Crucible will be the last two flagship books from Del Rey. And then Hasbro, Steve was mentioning this, essentially, I think we haven't really heard anything from Hasbro The toy licenses are probably transitioning over to Disney owned properties.
Have they not seen Toy Story? I mean, really, you don't kill off the toy franchise.
No. Well, and I think, does Hasbro, here's a question. Does Hasbro do Marvel figures? Isn't Marvel owned by Disney? This shows you how much of a toy collector I am.
Marvel is owned by Disney, and I do believe that Hasbro makes some Marvel ones.
Okay,
too.
Well, maybe that Hasbro may not pay, the Hasbro point may not be there, but I think the overall thing is I'm really getting the sense that they were wiping the slate, and we are going to get a Star Wars drought, eerily reminiscent of the late 80s and early 90s.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. What is Disney Key doing?
The vault.
The vault, exactly. We're going to put this thing in the vault. We're going to let people want it, crave it, drive up that demand. They know Episode 7's coming, so they only got a few years to wait. So let's just starve them out so they're like, you know, I mean, if you're going to feed somebody to a dog, you don't feed the dog before you feed the person to it, right? No, you starve the dog. Oh, my gosh, I'm Michael Vick.
Oh, dear. And the other aspect of this is that I really get the sense that Disney is really distancing themselves from the prequels.
I'm hearing that a lot.
I do honestly believe, and this is probably more from Kathleen Kennedy than it is from Disney, I get the sense that Kathleen Kennedy is an old school. If it's in theaters, it needs to be a movie on the big screen or it doesn't really count. And her idea of Star Wars is that. So I really, on some degree, I'm kind of wondering to myself how much of these project axes are coming from Kathleen Kennedy, head of Lucasfilm, or whether they're coming from like execs over around a board meeting table at Disney. Could be either one. So I want to close out this particular segment of discussion. Wow, we've been really positive, haven't we?
Well, and again, it's kind of hard from our perspective to be really positive right now because, you know, all the initial excitement and joy and starry-eyed giddiness over Episode 7 is kind of settled into we've heard about it and there's not really any recent news. So it's kind of, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's almost like old news because we're used to it. And again, all that we can see is the information that is given us, which is canceled. I'm not completely pessimistic or sad or angry here because I do think I have faith in Disney. I have confidence in Sunshine.
I have
exactly.
confidence in...
Oh, goodness. So I truly do think they're competent company and that everyone involved in this are confident. So I trust their opinion. I trust that they have a direction, but they have yet to show it. I trust that they have a good hand to play, but I haven't seen that hand.
They do with Episode 7. I mean, they're hiring first rate cast and crew. You got J.J. Abrams, you got Michael Arndt. But really, when it comes to any other Star Wars project, I don't really think they have I don't know whether it's the competence or whether it's the respect for it or whether, you know, it's hard to tell what's missing there. But see, and here's the thing. I think it would have been so much easier to have a good conclusion without it. Take season 6. Let's be honest. We all know that it was nearly done, if not done. I just got Southern there. Twern't no, you know, 6 episodes, 2 story arcs, of which one of them will be the Rush Clovis arc, which was meant for season 5, if you had to ask me. Yeah. So really probably one story arc from season 6. You could have just, I understand if you don't want to air it on network television. I understand if Cartoon Network is owned by Warner Brothers, which is a Disney rival. I understand all that. But just get us a Blu-ray of Season 6. I don't even know that we're going to get a Blu-ray of Season 5.
Or even if you don't want to produce something, release all the episodes on StarWars.com. At least.
Yeah, or digital download on iTunes. And I think that there would have been a great way to close that chapter for hardcore Star Wars fans who've been,
following this for 5 years.
And let's talk about that for a moment. Essentially, what's happened is that, you know, Mark Are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Have we bored you to tears?
I think no. He's just crying with sadness. He's just crying now.
Silently. Mark, you know what kept Star Wars alive between, you know, before the prequels came out?
A New Hope. I mean, a promise of more Star Wars. I mean, no.
Well, you know, what kept the fan community alive, and I'm sure you would agree, Mark, is the expanded universe. The Timothy Zahn novels, the expanding Amen. Mythology. That was what kindled the fire. And that, in many ways, that fans and Lucasfilm doesn't respect that aspect of Star Wars. Let's jump up to where we are now, and what we're seeing is a company and leadership within a company that doesn't respect the Clone Wars, which is the single biggest Star Wars thing that's been coming out and has been the single biggest thing that's kept Star Wars alive within the fan community and the biggest thing that's bringing kids into Star Wars these days. Because when you go to Star Wars Celebration, you see so many families and young kids, young boys, young girls there wanting to meet the voice actors and yeah. learn about the show. When you have 30,000 fans still showing up to these events when there's no movie in theaters, that's really the mark of a vibrant community. And you are taking a boot, putting it upon your foot, and stomping repeatedly upon the community by prematurely ending the project. And that's not me whining. That's just the reality that we're faced with. It's a company that has made the calculated... I guarantee you, these aren't just like willy-nilly decisions. They have thought carefully whether or not, you know, continuing these different series or stories is a good idea, and they, as in Disney or Kathleen Kennedy, it's kind of unknown who's making decisions at this point. Usually, would just say George because George used to be in charge.
That's what I want to know. What does George think?
George
Oprah,
Lucas,
get him in here and ask the man. I need to know. Is he? George. I mean, did he know about this?
Was this
something? Oh, by the way, George, we're gonna just axe the heck out of your saga and make it Frankenstein's monster to make it awesome again. I mean, did he have any clue?
Mark, I will tell you exactly what George Lucas is doing right now. He's in a penthouse suite in Chicago, Illinois, with his wife, Melody Hobson, not giving a dime about what's happening right now. And that's not disparaging. He's done with it. I mean, there's so much fan hatred and stuff for George Lucas over the years. He deserves his break and finally getting married. Goodness, he waited long enough. So, I mean, the poor man deserves it. But at this point, you're dealing, like I say, with a company that's made the calculated decision that for Star Wars fans, current Star Wars fans, they are not valuable enough for the franchise's future. And you know what the most sad thing to me is that is a terrifyingly sad fact. There will be and can be no boycott of a Star Wars movie. It's a Star Wars movie. Everyone will go see it. Mm-hmm. The fan enthusiasm will be there. And that's not a bad thing. I'm sure Episode 7 will be amazing. That's a separate issue. When you're talking about the way you treat the Star Wars franchise as it currently is, holistically, the expanded universe, the Clone Wars, you name it, every little subsection of the fan community, if, as I predict it will happen, and it will happen, mark my words, a year from now there won't be a single Star Wars project that's not specifically related to Episode 7. I made that claim on the Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast with Mike Cohen over there, and I think it's true to this day, and I think the LucasArts thing, if I were to bet $20, although I'm having a pretty good history with that so far, I would bet that that's the case, that there won't be any new Star Wars projects, and that's what we're faced with. We're faced with a company that simply decided that the Star Wars fan community, as it is now, won't be happy, but that's okay, they'll all be back for Episode 7. And there's no reason to be bitter about that, because Episode 7, I'm sure, will be amazing. There's just, for me, no reason that Disney couldn't simply bring each of these story arcs to a close. Because I'm not even asking them to do 7 seasons of The Clone Wars or keep doing expanded universe books forever and expect them to match Episodes 7, 8, and 9 exactly. We all know that 7, 8, and 9 are not going to follow, you know, the New Jedi Order. And that's just a fact that we need to face, is that that's most likely going to happen. And I'm not even asking for that. I'm not even asking for, making all these demands. All I really would like is just as a nice nod to close the Clone Wars out, respectively, to finish 1313. The projects that are currently on tap, just front the budget, finish them out, do a nice transition. This is not a transition to a new era of Star Wars. This is taking Gimli's battle axe and going swing, 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 and it's and killing it all. So there you go.
Michonne's katana. Swing, well, swing.
There you go.
Yeah.
In this dark time that we are suffering here as fans, there is one surprising ray of light, and that is Dark Horse Comics, who we are all fearing is going to end up getting the axe too. And possibly see the franchise go over tomorrow.
But they don't care.
But they're actually announcing new projects.
I know. They're like, up yours, Disney. We're announcing new series. Take that.
I have a complaint there because, okay, they say one new series when they're talking about Dark Times. And Dark Times is a series that's already going. And I just discovered, which I feel like an idiot because it's been the whole time, Dark Times is just a continuation of Star Wars Republic. The number 25 is actually considered Star Wars Republic number 108. I was like, what? Blew my mind about that. So even though it's considered a new series that's currently going on with Fire Carrier, they announced the new arc for the series and they're advertising it as another new series. Like, wait, what? So that was a little confusing. But the other one that actually is a new series, and I think this is the most important to think about right now, is they got permission, and I don't know if this was an actual April Fool's prank. Everything I've been told is it was announced at WonderCon before it hit April Fool's Day was when they actually announced it. And they got permission, Dark Horse Comics, to use George Lucas's original script for The Star Wars, where we had an older General Luke Skywalker, the Jedi Anakin Starkiller, and Han Solo the Green Lizard. I mean, it boggled my mind. 8 issues they're talking about here of Lucas's original story. I mean, you know, I wanted to ask you this, Riley, because you're always someone that, you know, you will think Star Wars is Lucas's original vision. And the way canon always worked before Lucas sold out, I say that jokingly, is that whatever Lucas comes up with today becomes the canon. Well, if this was his rough draft and they put it out, wouldn't, in a sense, this be the closest to Lucas's original vision we will have ever seen?
Original vision, yes. And just a point of clarification, Star Wars is about Lucas's original vision, because I'm realistic like you, Mark. I know that it changes over time and that he's constantly wanting to fix and improve things.
And visions should change over time. Your dreams should grow bigger. They should grow with you as an individual. As you grow and mature, hopefully your dreams and plans do too.
Yeah, and that's where. But you're right. I'm very interested to see what Star Wars looked like to George Lucas originally. But it is a changing vision, and Lord knows it is now. But that being said, I think it's important because here's so much. There's wrath, and we feel like it has to be turned somewhere, and that everyone wants to go to Disney and Lucasfilm and Episode 7. These are truly unrelated items. This is a company that probably has made the decision on these projects separately that they don't want to continue them as part of the way they want to do Star Wars in the future. It's not a direct result of Episode 7 or something like that. So at least we can take some comfort in the fact that that's not the case. And just be sure not to take that wrath out on Star Wars Episode 7, and don't let it dampen your enthusiasm, because these truly are the great times to be a Star Wars fan in the sense of new Star Wars movies. So I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is,
this shakeup is nothing new, right, Riley?
Yeah.
Karen Travis left, we had a whole shakeup. George Lucas left, we have a shakeup. Nothing new.
Yeah, it is disappointing, but I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel with Episode 7, and I really do hope that, and I do remain optimistic there will be other Star Wars projects. They just will be related to the new trilogy as over the next few years. But what I'm trying to say is, don't stop believing. Everybody wants a thrill. All right. I'm going to savor a couple minutes, take the next 10 minutes or so before we wrap up the show. Because Bethany and I are actually watching the Harry Potter films one at a time. As we get time, it's taken us weeks and weeks upon weeks. But we're finally in the Deathly Hallows Part 1 of 2. And I love the opening. After all this news yesterday, the opening of the films is Bill Nighy, who's the Minister of the Ministry of Magic. Yeah, and he's like, "These are dark times. There is no denying."
It was just so perfect.
This is true.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to skip out because I forgot about a phone call that I'm supposed to be making. And it is 15 minutes till 9.
So. All right. Well, I'm going to hold you. I'm going to be rude and say 60 seconds. Can I have 60 seconds, Bethany?
Yes. 59. 58.
57. All right. So really quickly, I'm going to briefly touch
faster,
on Jamie.
Riley, faster.
No, Jamie and Empire Strikes Back. Your thoughts on the reveal. I think that's the most important part. Because you were looking... I've tried to be subtle and just say the spares. Bethany's like peering straight over at... What's the reaction going
to
be?
I was staring unabashedly at her just to see what she was reacting.
Your thoughts, and then we'll get more into the details.
When Jamie was watching The Empire Strikes Back the first time, definitely what I wanted to see was the reveal. The Darth Vader is Luke's father reveal. And I was so curious because this was spoiled for me and Riley. We knew it already going into the movie. Yeah. So I had never seen anybody or experienced it myself actually react to seeing it in person for the first time.
You and Germans
Jamie's
everywhere.
Jaw dropped, quite literally. She was definitely... It was this... How would I feel if I were Luke? I would feel awful. This is terrible.
She's buying into it. It's amazing. I love it. All right, we'll describe it in greater detail. You've got a phone call.
Okay.
Does that mean we won't be able to finish Deathly Hallows, or will that mean we will be able to?
We will be able to. No, I just
not
need
to hash
get,
this. Sort
I just
of stuff.
Need to get it made before 9 our time.
Oh, okay. Well, you got 8 minutes. Sorry. Okay. Thanks for coming on, Bethany, and folks can follow you on Twitter at.
Aelin Wynn, and if you can figure out how to spell that without being told, nice.
We need a catchy way to spell it so folks can follow you. All sure. Right, talk to you soon, Bethany. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us, and later, thanks Bethany. For listening in on the show.
Cool, coolio, as is one of your favorite terms, Mark. Okay, episode because I got to bug out in a minute as well. Mark, have you heard of bug out bags?
This is
going to be an ADD moment. Which, by the way, I hate the term ADD moment because often it's an excuse to be distracted. But in this case, I'm using it. Bug out bags are... I discovered these survivalists the other night as I was browsing the internet, as I want to do. And I came across the term bug out bag. And if for somebody who likes to do search and rescue as a volunteer through Civil Air Patrol and through...
Oh, okay.
I've discovered the bug out bag is the term people use there. They can throw it in, in their garage or in the trunk of their car. They're different sizes and different purposes to where they'd have everything they need to live for, 72 hours or a week and just some really amazing stuff.
We call it an emergency readiness kit.
Yeah. Basically a zombie version of that. So the bug out bags, and it's cool because it's a brand of survivalism that I find fascinating because many survivalists, if they're into that kind of thing, just want to, say the world's ending. We need to go off the grid right now and we need to swear off, power, electricity, running water, city water, we live like that. And for me, I'm far too a comfortable man to want to give up all the comforts of modern society. But I am paranoid enough in the back of my brain to where I know enough about natural disasters and possibly unnatural disasters to where I would actually be into that thing. I need a bug out bag. Where did I go with that? Man, and there I go, burning up the last few minutes talking about bug out bags. But I knew you'd be into that kind of thing, Mark. Okay, Jamie, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. We don't have a lot of time to discuss it, but I will just say, and this will be the way we close out the show, she thoroughly enjoyed it to the point of where she liked Episode 4, and it was easy to follow. She was really getting into Episode 5. The Empire Strikes Back is and really, what's fun is watching it with her, because it's kind of like watching it by yourself for the first time. And when you're realizing these things, when she's putting those pieces together, that's what's most gratifying. Because as I was thinking about it, she was having a hard time, not a hard time, but it's, when you're watching Empire Strikes Back for the first time, it's faster paced, and it's also harder to follow the plot because it's bouncing back and forth between Hoth and between the Empire and between the Asteroid Chase, Bespin. And then Cloud City. Yeah, yep. Bespin.
A lot of good stuff. And, well, they never established how long the trip for Han and Leia was.
And that's always the confusing thing about Empire, is it's really hard to tell when you watch the film how much time has passed. And that's kind of think what's really cool about it. So Jamie is someone who really likes classical storytelling, Pride and Prejudice, you know, Sense and Sensibility, things of great character development, great stories, and great lessons learned. And I think she's actually really buying into the original trilogy in a way that she wouldn't really buy into any other fantasy or science fiction, because she's not really a person who would enjoy fantasy or science fiction to begin with. So she's with Empire, she's really getting into it. Tomorrow night is the time that we're going to be watching The Phantom Menace. Here's the test, Mark. I'm nervous. Not going to lie. Go ahead.
I have a question real quick. All because, right. You know, you mentioned the big reveal. Is not there a second reveal at the end of this with the whole, no, there is another?
That's true.
But they don't say that it's Leia. They don't say he has a sister.
Nope.
They just leave it open that there is another one. And even Luke doesn't know it.
Yeah. And that's and I think that she may have missed that. And you know how you can do a previously on television? I really wish maybe someone's already done this on YouTube. It would be really cool to have a, you know, 1 minute or 2 minute recap of the last film of all six Star Wars films that gives you a reminder, especially for folks watching the films the first time, because we know these films like the back of our hand. So when you watch them, it's so easy to piece things together. But I think she may have missed the significance. I think she heard it, but I think she missed the significance of, no, there is another. Because it does kind of bleep by somewhat quickly as Luke is leaving. And she was all caught up. She was mainly caught up, and this is, in some ways, she's not speaking for herself. I'm mostly just doing my impression of it. So I'm by all means not the voice piece of Jamie, but I think she was enjoying the dialogue and back and forth with Han and Leia, and was far more invested with that storyline as they got trapped on Cloud City than anything else.
That was always my favorite movie up until the prequel trilogy came out, and I think for a lot of the elder fans, I mean, I'm not certainly one of the eldest out there, but yeah. I'm one of the older, you know, 34 coming up on. And it's one of those things that kind of, you know, threw you off when you saw the prequel trilogy and you really liked it. Next thing you know, you're like, man, I think I might like episode 3 a little more than I do episode 5. And like that dawning on it is like, wow, because for so long, you know, for me, episode 5 was my cream of the crop, man. It was like, finally, the bad guys win. You know, it ends on. I love the clerks. It ends on such a down note. I love that.
Yeah,
I mean, that was one of the most unprecedented things about that film for me. And the whole you have a sister thing. I was just thinking about that because, you know, we were talking about how to watch it, and I believe the order you guys are doing is what, 4, 5, 1, 2. Are you guys watching 3 before 6?
Yes. 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6. So the reveal of Leia being Luke's sister is going to be in the birthing chamber at the end of episode 3.
See, and I had never until just now, I mean, I knew that that reveal was there, but I never realized that by watching it in that order, that reveal would be spoiled. I always focused on the Vader is your father reveal there. That is actually pretty interesting. And I'm definitely curious to see how she will take knowing that, because if she's paying attention, that should take her by surprise. I'm like, because when she goes into episode 6, she'll know. So when Luke figures it out, she'll be like, that's cool. I'm actually very curious to see how she's going to take that in.
That is going to be fun to discover as we go along, because that's Empire. So, and I say I'm nervous because she is someone of her tastes who likes great characters and great, frankly, dialogue is important, and those are weaknesses, I think, of the prequels. And I'm the first to admit there are these very stark weaknesses in the prequels, and I think they mainly come and attack the clones in the dialogue between Padme and Anakin. But that being said, in some ways, and I was talking to Steve Glosson about this, for me, it's easy because I'm only 21 and I haven't seen these films nearly as many times as a lot of my compatriots in the Star Wars fan community. And it's easy for me to kind of get caught up and remember the films as the most talked about moments are the ones that stick in my mind. So like the It's a Trap or the famous quotes or the most talked about scenes are there. And there's this kind of, as I was thinking about the prequels, one of my first thoughts was, oh no, what if she hates them because she's someone who that dialogue might be really hard to get past and appreciate the story. But in doing so, you know, I kind of forgotten Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson in episode yeah. one is incredible. And I'd kind of forgotten, you know, in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, Ian McDermott. Just astounding performances and dialogues there. But so we're going to have to kind of rinse our way through stepping in Bantha Poodoo and kind of get our wade our way past just being around her again is intoxicating. We're going to have to kind of get through that to get to the things like, you know, get to moments where it says things like, you were the chosen one. You were my brother, Anakin. So yeah. The greatest moments
it
of the
said
place.
You were to bring balance to the Force, not live in darkness.
Oh, I cried. I cried. Dude. I cried girly tears, my friend.
Me and you both, brother. That Ewan McGregor, man, he just had me at Anakin. I was like, oh.
He's emotionally punching you in the face over and over again.
I was like, I can't breathe. I mean, you just got through Order 66, all that fun.
Sure.
Touching on something you said at the very beginning of the episode, though, it kind of my roundabout kind of way of going there, the March Madness and the weird lineups. We had, what, Jabba the Hutt and Salacious Crumb. And I was thinking about, you know, who picks these characters? Salacious Crumb. And, you know, and again, I go from the EU standpoint here. For me, I stopped caring about Salacious Crumb the second episode 6 was over. You know, Jabba's dead. So for me, I'm like, this really, Salacious Crumb is a standout character of Star Wars? But then I got to stop and I go back, well, if you only watch these 6 movies, yeah, I guess kind of he's. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't even know.
They have a pillow of him down that they're going to have at the Star Wars weekends, and I'm desperately going to try to get it. I want it so bad. Man, I want to have it sitting here when I do my podcast. And yet, I'm sitting here at this March Madness going, really? Salacious Crumb? And then I see that pillow, and yet the inevitable fan film, you know, fanatic of me is like, I gotta have that pillow. It's got Salacious Crumb. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the Star Wars March Madness, for all of you who care, is R2-D2 versus Chewbacca and Emperor Palpatine versus Boba Fett. And I, by the way, at the very beginning of this, in the first round, I predicted Emperor Palpatine versus Yoda, and I'm pretty sure that's how it'll go. Unless R2-D2... who will beat Chewbacca beats Yoda, and it might be R2-D2 versus Emperor Palpatine, which, by the way, would be kind of funny. No, I'm getting caught up in it. No. I'm getting sucked in. All right. But, okay, last couple things on Jamie and watching Empire. Cough button. All right, sorry about that. Let's see.
Now you're watching this in Blu-ray, right?
Yes, we watched the Blu-ray editions of The Empire Strikes Back. And we will be doing the Blu-ray edition of the rest of the films. The only kind of out there one was Star Wars Revisited for the first one.
I have still not seen any Star Wars in Blu-ray.
Do you have
and
the
I'm kind of like dragging my feet because I'm hearing about everybody like you and the bubble wrap. Whoa, we saw bubble wrap. And I'm like, what? Nathan's hearing all sorts of sounds he's never heard before. I'm like, my speakers are not ready for this yet. I got to have the whole system ready. We're not quite there. Hold out. Yeah. Yes, you've got a Blu-ray. Yes, you've got a TV that can play on the Blu-ray, but you don't have the sound system. Hold out.
Yeah,
I desperately want to drop that $45 and get each one, man.
I'll tell you what, they're coming down. I think I want to say it was $65 on Amazon a while ago on discount. The whole saga. But a couple little moments. There are moments that date the film, and this is something I never really thought about. But the moment where the Wampa attacks and then walks away, there are a couple Wampa moments where that actually got laugh out loud because it's the puppet's so cheesy, especially compared to Yoda. The Wampa's really kind of out of place. That's something that I think could easily be replaced with CGI in a future version of the film. And there were actually a lot more Wampa scenes filmed for The Empire Strikes Back, as I understand, that weren't used just because the puppet was so clunky.
They've utilized them in certain games, certain backstories, one of which R2 and 3PO are running through the caves, and 3PO turns and rips off a warning sign because they had locked some Wampas that had walked their way into the base. They locked them up in some rooms or a side chamber. 3PO lets them loose on the stormtroopers. I believe when you're playing Shadows of the Empire, Dash Rendar also comes at those same that same corridor, and you see it from another point of view, which is so great about, you know, anytime they tied things into this, how they would do the multiple plays on the points of view. It's like,
but I think that
we're in here.
I think some of those scenes were filmed and they're in the archive somewhere. I want to say I've seen like stills or something of this.
Yeah, there were some stills, and then I believe there was someone had made some mashups of like two or three of them and enhanced them, and a lot of people thought they were new deleted scenes. But it, all it was like three scenes added together with a little new digital mapping going on. But yeah, man, there's a lot of really cool stuff that I mean, I don't have the Blu-ray, so I don't know how much of it's on the Blu-rays and stuff. I only have my original DVDs and the special DVDs that came out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did a quick confession, and then I'll close this out. I almost let it slip. Jamie was asking a lot about the mythology of Star Wars, and in some ways, she wants to know more than she should know. As is understandable, because
that's healthy. That's a good sign.
Well, I mean, Star Wars is so present in popular culture today that it's hard not to say, well, what happens in these movies, or what happens in these games, or these books, or what's the greater thing? And so she's just now piecing it together. She's like, Darth Vader. Well, who was Darth Vader? Is what she wants to know. And she was like, is he? I think she, and I'm trying to remember, I don't even remember the exact wording. All I remember is that I got dangerously close to where she was saying, she was almost putting together, oh, wait, is he Anakin Skywalker? And she thought for a second, but it didn't quite click. Fortunately, I was like drawing my breath, like, don't figure it out. Do not figure it out. Because we still had about an hour in the movie until that scene. So it was close, and it was going to be my fault too. It was something that I said. I think I said the name Skywalker, and she said, "Is he Anakin? Is he a Skywalker? Is he related to Luke Skywalker?" And I was like, "Well," and this is me being a complete Obi-Wan, a complete political bald-faced liar.
I said,
and I'm going to call myself out. I said to her, "Well, as you can remember, Jamie, at the beginning of A New Hope, Obi-Wan fought with Darth Vader in the Clone Wars before." You know, what was the quote? I blanked on the quote now. Darth Vader was a pupil of Obi-Wan's until he hunted and murdered Luke's father. And she said, oh, okay. So I'll just kind of summarize again. So essentially, if you have to pause and think about it for a moment, Riley, who came dangerously close to giving it all away before the great reveal scene, had to reel back and, from a certain point of view, say, I used Obi-Wan's own tricks for Jamie. And I said, well, actually, no. What really happened was Darth Vader was a pupil of Obi-Wan's until he turned evil and hunted down and killed Luke's father. And she's like, oh, okay.
Damn.
I felt oddly satisfied that the lie actually worked in real life. So she's going to be...
At last, the circle is now complete.
So after Revenge of the Sith, she's going to be looking, giving me the evil eye, and I'll say, well, what I told you was true from a certain point of view.
And you'd be like, now you know what a whole contingent of fans were talking about. I mean, this is something you may not know. Star Wars Insider.
Okay.
The people that did the Star Wars Insider, when I first started getting them, I think it was like around 80, maybe 70 something.
Oh, wow.
They used to dog on Kenobi all the time.
Okay.
Because Kenobi was a liar. And then as more of the prequel stuff started coming out, it was like, oh, he's just a liar. He's lying everywhere. Like, you know, because then we found out he didn't have a brother. We found out all these other things had changed. So they were always coming down on old Kenobi. But then, you know, then we watched the rest of the prequel trilogy, and we realize how awesome Kenobi is. Now they're seeing a different Kenobi praise, but I remember back in the day, man, that whole point of view thing, man, they would just rub that like it was just a sore wound all the time. Oh, Obi-Wan's over there blowing smoke again from a certain point of view. It's not smoke at all. He's communicating with the Jawas. Yeah, that's right.
yeah, it's... Sorry, I just got distracted looking at Robot Chicken Obi-Wan clips. Okay. I wanted to play the clip, but I don't have it in front of me exactly. But yeah, so I guess, but on, to end on a positive note, to end on a much more positive note, what Empire Strikes Back was for Jamie more than anything is the character humor. It's a funny movie, and not in a slapstick way, but because the film is so dark at times, I forget how fantastic the back and forths between Han and Leia are. And that was really Jamie's favorite part. And my sister, Cindy, and then her husband, Phil, and my cousin, Scott, we're all watching it together. And you know, Cindy and Phil and Jamie especially, they're really enjoying getting a kick out of those little one-liners where, you know, 3PO at one point in the ship, he's like, "Sir, I think you need to, like, defuse the power couplings," or something like that. I forget the exact quote. And then Han Solo looks over at Chewbacca. He's like, "Chewie, I think we need to defuse the power couplings." And so, yeah.
After he tells him off. I know. I love that part.
Yeah, but, I mean, just moments like that are hilarious. He's like, "No, that one goes there. This one goes here." So, I mean, moments like that are just really, really funny. And also, side note, I'm realizing as I tell these stories, I really haven't seen these films enough. Because for you, Mark, and for many other people that I know in the Star Wars community, they have all of these quotes memorized. And I realize how often I'm on this podcast and I remember a moment from the movie and I can't remember the exact quote. That's happened like three times tonight.
Think about that one you just said where Han's going, "No, that one goes here. This one over there." I mean, Chewie's the mechanic on the ship. I mean, really, of the two that would know what's going on, it would be Chewie. I love the fact that Han thinks he knows what he's talking about.
Yes, yes. And you threw me a reminder. Thank you, Mark. Coming up next week, we've got, speaking of Disney, there's a new kind of Disney Park Star Wars survey. And not only is it about... Would you want a Star Wars park at the Disney parks over in the old Cali? But some really interesting questions about, Mark, you pointed this out to me, some really interesting questions about Star Wars fans in general, and I think that'll be a fun survey to take. So we'll see if we can do that next week, continuing coverage of what's going on in the Star Wars fan community until we run out of stuff to talk about when there aren't any new projects. But in all seriousness, stay positive, guys. I think it is a dark time for Star Wars fans who've been fans of these past few years of the Clone Wars or the video games or, frankly, the expanded universe, because it seems to be going the same direction. It will be a dark times, but as Bruce Wayne once said, the night is always darkest before the dawn. So stay positive, guys. I want to do some quick plugs. Let me get my show notes up here in front of me. first thing I want to throw out, I've already uploaded. It's already ready to go on our secret, no one knows the link to it, but certain people, bonus page that I have set up. And it will go out on the mailing list this week, probably tomorrow or the next day as I'm recording this. So if you're listening to this, you need to subscribe. Going out on the mailing list is a link to the bonus page, which is newly updated with the entire... audio of the panel that Mark Hamill did at Star Wars Celebration, interviewed by James Arnold Taylor. Fantastic. Probably my favorite panel of the whole celebration. The audio quality wasn't super, super fantastic, but it was still one of those things where, you know, it was one of those things where I really wanted to get it out there for some of you guys. So I think that'd be a nice treat for you guys on the mailing list. It's free. It's easy. All you have to do is sign up. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. Makes it super easy. There's a little form. You just put your name and email, and you'll get messages with cool bonus content like that, like the bonus Ashley Eckstein interview, like the bonus conversation that we've been having about the Clone Wars ending. All that stuff's on our bonus page, and I think that's going to be a really fun place to collect some little special goodies for you guys on the mailing list. Almost 100 strong now. I've been very pleased with the reaction of you guys signing up. That's really encouraging. What else?
Also got Nathan P. Butler's EU Primer and links to his Star Wars Timeline Gold mm-hmm. there on the main page. Star Wars.
I almost forgot. Report. That's new. That's new over at StarWarsReport.com. That's a link to, under the timeline link. Great resource. And Beyond the Films has some bonus episodes coming out right now of the audio version of that Star Wars Expanded Universe Primer. So go check out episode one of that. It's fantastic stuff. Also, I want to throw out a mention for myself and Mark. You can follow us personally on Twitter at IllogicalRogue2, and that's for Mark and for me, at The Riley Guy. Those are our personal accounts. But for the Star Wars Report, just head over to StarWarsReport.com. You'll see all the links there or in our show notes. It's Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. It makes it super easy to remember that way. Am I forgetting anything, Mark? I always do. Sometimes.
No, I think you about got it covered. The last ray of light in this dark, dark time. It's not just the twin Skywalker children. It is Dark Horse Comics bringing to you George's original, The Star Wars. You
I'm
can see what he
that.
Was thinking about when he created the universe that we all know and love.
Yeah, we will have to take a look at that on the show to do some reviews of that. And maybe the Star Wars series that's going on from Dark Horse, too. And also, I just want to set up, besides the Disney Park thing next week for the podcast, I'm really looking forward to all kinds of new stuff that we've got going on. Of course, I blanked on specifically what I was going to say. I want to let you guys know that we will be working on... what was the name of it? Oh, next week. In fact, tomorrow night as I record this. My brain, Mark, I'll tell you what. But tomorrow night as we record this, Friday evening, Friday the 5th of March, April. Man. Of April, we will be watching The Phantom Menace. There, I got it out. We'll be watching The Phantom Menace with Jamie. I'll be reporting back next week on the show as we go on watching the Star Wars Remember Many Mothins Died to bring you this podcast.
Oh, knock it off.
I swear, Mark, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. I was doing so well, too, those last 5 minutes.
Dude, I had that this morning. I